Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
I heard from a once mediocre Texan starting quarterback that every interception tells a story. That quarterback was one Brockifer Osweiler.
Oh, I thought that was a Rod Stewart song.
Could be. Okay. Could be. Rod Stewart's still with
us. If Osweiler started breaking out to every interception tells a story.
I'm here for it.
Like that,
I'm here for
then
it.
Then I would have liked Brock. Then I would have despised him so much more.
Yeah, it all depends on if he wins. Davis Mills had two interceptions yesterday, and they were backbreakers. One in the first half wasn't a backbreaker. It was just they could have taken a lead in the game and turned a Jalen Petrie interception, which we'll get to those in a second. Could have turned it into some points. As it is, they took both of the turnovers, the Petrie turnovers, and turned them into zero. But here were Davis Mills' two interceptions. Every interception tells a story. We're going to play the interceptions, Mark Vandermeer's call, and then we're going to hear Davis Mills' story on the interception, and then we'll run it through the old interception story tester and see if it works for us. Here is interception number one. Down at the Chicago goal line, a batted pass that goes up in the air intended for Brandon Cooks, and the Bears' Eddie Jackson picks it off.
Mills pumping, firing to the end zone, tipped and intercepted. Jackson in the back of the end zone.
Vandy's so disgusted right there. he's so disgusted with that play right there.
I think so. That was another one too, where the ball seemed like it was in the air forever. It tipped up, and you slowly realize and process like, oh, no, no,
it's getting
no white
off.
Jerseys around there. Ah,
yes.
Crap.
The ball. As soon as that thing got batted up in the air, I'm like, yep, that thing's getting picked off. I'm just going to sit back here and wait for Eddie Jackson to corral that. Here was Davis Mills after the game on that play.
Well, I mean, Brandon was the primary there. It was tight coverage by the defense. He made a good play on it and tipped the ball up, and their safety ended up finding a way to get back in the play and pick it off.
He was covered from jump. That's the thing. That's
yeah.
Like, you know, the defensive back didn't come out of nowhere. Like, he was draped on Brandon Cooks from the time Cooks got out of his break at the goal line.
That was the thing there, too, and it wasn't like Davis Mills was under undue pressure there in that moment. And I think that Mills has actually shown some progress in dealing with a muddy pocket, I think. And there were a couple times yesterday where he did go through his progressions in an imperfect pocket, and then there were times where he had a good pocket and he made use of it. He's just certainly not there yet in terms of the complete and total package. And the pre-programming to go to Cooks when he's his number one read is a strong one. I have been arguing that, like, hey, Davis Mills shouldn't be afraid to throw interceptions, that he's got to just start, you know, taking some chances and putting the ball out there more. So throwing two interceptions doesn't bother me as much. It's the fact that both of those interceptions were to his number one targets. And then this one, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I'm laughing, but I can't even laugh that Burkhead is one of his number one targets.
Yeah. I mean, the defenses know what's coming. And defensive coordinators know what's coming. Yeah. The players themselves do. And it makes it a lot easier to read a guy's eyes. Sometimes it's almost better that the pocket's clean because then they know exactly where the ball is going.
Well, time and place, too. I mean, I think, you know, there's certain parts of the field, the closer you get to the opposing goal line, the more careful you need to be. I mean, you are in range. Look, they were down 10-7 at that point, and it's early in the game, but points are going to be at a premium for this team all year. They stink offensively. So you get down in that area, And you've got to be if you're Davis Mills, you got to be more careful about things down there.
It's second down at that point. You've got two more opportunities, at least one more opportunity for a touchdown, one opportunity for a field goal. That's the fact that one was taking points off the board, and then the other one ended up putting points on the board.
Yep.
You're right. That's the tough part.
Yep, really tough part. Here was the second interception. This was the one. This is the Roquan Smith interception off of the Angelo Blackson deflection, and this set up the Bears for their game-winning field goal.
Davis looking. Davis firing, and it's intercepted. Roquan Smith, 20-15, tripped up at the 11-yard line by Mills. And the Bears have it at the red zone.
Honestly, the best thing Mills could have done right there, if he was thinking it through, is let Roquan Smith score. Once Roquan Smith went down, I try to assess the situation split second and go, okay, what's the way they still win this game? And I'm looking, I'm going, unless Justin Fields fumbles a snap, which there's like a 22% chance could happen. He fumbled fumbled two of them.
Right?
I mean, that's the only chance at that point because it's under a minute to play and the Texans are out of timeouts at that point.
I actually, the first kneel down he had there, this angered me about Justin Fields. I was so angry about so many things like on both sides of the ball yesterday for no reason at all. Like, just from a pure football fan perspective, I know what the Texans are this year and I'm not too worried about individual losses. There are just so many disgusting actual football things. On the first kneel down, Justin Smith stuck the ball out, so it wouldn't be a
negative
for a
play.
Yeah,
I didn't notice that,
and I'm like, oh my god, I hope somebody noticed that. I hope that Roy Lopez noticed that and at least takes a swipe at the ball if he tries it again on this next kneel down, and he didn't. I don't know if Justin Fields thought better of it or what, because it was a point blank field goal. It would be one thing too if you were. If it was going to be a long field goal, then maybe try to get extra every yard you can. But,
I when you said that, my immediate reaction was, oh, he's doing that so his stats don't get bunged up.
No. I think that's what it was. That is what it was. I'm saying it would have been okay if it was a deeper field
goal. I see what you're saying. Try to get every inch that you can. Yeah, I got you. I see what you're saying. Here was Davis Mills on that second interception.
It's tough. We talk about it a lot. Tip balls never touched the ground. Got through my progression, made the correct read. I mean, had Rex open, and just the ball got tipped to the line. Nothing I can really do about it there. Good play by the defense. Just unfortunate. And down in the red zone, too. Turn the ball over. And an opportunity we can go down and score a touchdown. At this point, I mean, we got to take advantage of all those opportunities. Scoring touchdowns rather than kicking field goals or turning the ball over. It's tough.
So.
That play right there, as we talked about earlier, one of the biggest issues is just that Rex Burkhead is the second most targeted receiver on your football team now.
Yep.
And especially in crunch time situations, he seems to be the guy that Davis Mills trusts more than anybody else in the world. And I have a hard time not thinking that ball is at least going to be broken up if Roquan Smith is right where he was,
because
the ball didn't lose that much mustard off of it.
No,
it didn't change the, unless it was a really poorly thrown ball and was going to be at his feet. Ball was, Oh gosh, now I don't even want to talk about them. What percentage of the actual receptions do you think are thrown high by Davis Mills? He's going to get somebody murdered.
Too many.
At this point. Yeah, he is consistently about 2 or 3 feet too high, whether it's over the middle, on the sideline, wherever it is, and somebody's going to get killed at some point. And he'll have only – he's like – you know what? Davis Mills at this point is no better than that doctor from San Diego that gave the injection to Tyrod Taylor.
He's going
to
get somebody's ribs
caved in. He's a menace. Yeah. He's got no skill or technique to operate in those sensitive areas. So on that series, it's third and one. It was going to be a first down if he had caught it.
Yeah.
I think that when I try to make myself feel better about the Burkhead targets, I think they're looking at it like, hey, it's like a run play. These screens, these design screens to Burkhead, these short passes, we're looking at this like a run play. The problem is that remember what happens on pass plays that doesn't happen on run plays? Interceptions. That's exactly what happens on these plays.
Yep. The defense knows what's coming. So those are the two interceptions. Now, The interceptions for the good guys, they were forecasted yesterday. If you don't listen to Texans Countdown, then you probably didn't win your prop bet on Jalen Petrie over 1.5 interceptions. I don't think that existed, but if it did, you would have won a lot of money, because here was the exchange on the pregame show yesterday. Brooks Cabina of the Houston Chronicle, who joins us for each of the road games on the pregame show, joins me and Seth, and got talking about Justin Fields and the fact that, you know, a lot of his interceptions through the film study Brooks did, they are high and over the middle.
A lot of his interceptions, I looked over some of his tape from last year and even up to this year, he's thrown two so far this year. A lot of them are over the middle. A lot of them are a little high. A lot of them are kind of pushing the ball in irresponsible situations. So I think they lean more towards what they feel comfortable with.
Boy, you know what? As you're describing where a lot of Justin Fields' misfires have been, it's getting me a little bit excited that this might be a breakout day for Jalen Petrie.
Yes, I thought the same thing.
That was my thought as well. Wrote that this morning. I think Petrie gets his first interception today.
Yeah. Interception. You know what,
First two interceptions. Yeah. I'll give Brooks any of my credit in that segment, because I had actually read his column that morning.
Oh, okay. It's big of you.
I remembered it.
Footnoted a day later.
I remembered it as I was saying it. I was like, oh yeah, I actually already knew this, that where Brooks was going with this. I think that the one thing was, though, we can't even give Justin Fields credit for throwing it high. They were just atrocious throws.
They just missed it.
There wasn't. I wanted him to throw so much more. I can't. I don't understand how any Chicago fan can be upset that the Bears aren't throwing the ball more. Is that actually what you want? Do you really want Justin Fields running the ball more? You need to go back to single wing football and have this dude get 20 carries a game minimum, because, oh my God, he's awful.
The only explanation for a Bears fan wanting him to throw the ball more would be that that's the easiest way to get Justin Fields out of town. Is they're going to lose a bunch of games, and you go find Justin Fields' replacement, because he's not the quarterback there long term.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, if you're just tuning in and you're thinking, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe these guys think that Justin Fields is worse than Davis Mills. No. They're all bad. Everybody except Trevor Lawrence from that quarterback class is going to end up being a disappointing failure. Don't get me wrong, but the Texans at least didn't trade up to the 11th spot in the draft to pick him.
Yeah, yeah. Mills is more disposable.
That's the tough part for the Bears, is that they traded up to get this quarterback in the first round, and they're going to have to draft another quarterback next year. Whereas the Texans will draft a quarterback after disposing of Davis Mills.
Yeah.
We'll keep him around. I don't know.
Yeah, Mills can be the backup. Like, there is something to being the 11th overall pick versus the 67th overall pick. The 11th overall pick, you can't keep that guy around to be a backup. It's just, Fields strikes me a little as a guy who would be a pain in the ass to have around as a backup. Just your general observation. We were speculating yesterday on the post game show with some degree of seriousness. Do you think that Fields is sabotaging his own efforts just so he can get up and out of Chicago? You know who his agent is, Seth.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Agent, David Mulligetta.
David Mulligetta is his agent. Yeah. Do you think he's sabotaging himself so he can? It's hard for him to demand a trade right now because he sucks.
You know what? Maybe he might end up being one of those. Davis Mills might end up being one of those guys that becomes like the constantly intriguing backup quarterback, that he's always around and he's a good dude, and people are always wondering. He ends up getting like contracts. I'm trying to think if there was a guy like this who's been out of the league for a couple years. But he ended up going with the Chiefs for a while. But he was
Chase Daniel was the name of the
media. He's
Justin Herbert's backup right now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's still, that's right. Yeah, Chase Daniel. So we'll see him next week, the future Davis Mills, is a guy that has been around forever and has done a good job of not playing that much.
Yes.
So people keep thinking, like, oh, yeah, I like that guy.
Mills has played too much. There's too
much. Yeah, I know. But at least he's doing it on a bad team early in his career.
Yeah.
If he had been a first overall pick or something,
right,
then you're screwed big time. But because Chase Daniel has never actually been really dependent upon or anything. Yeah, he can always have that intrigue as a guy that needs to make $5 million a year as a backup.
Never been dependent upon, but dude has gotten paid through the year. He's made like $40 million. He's made like $40 million, and I don't even know if he's started five games in his career.
He's started five games.
He's 2-3.
He's attempted a total of 197 passes since 2010. So yeah, he's averaging about 1.9 pass attempts or 19 pass attempts.
Dude,
per year.
$40 million. That's the gig right there. Just being a backup quarterback that never plays, but you get paid millions of dollars.
Oh, well, what about a quarterback who sucks making $250 million like Russell Wilson?
Yeah, that's not a bad gig either. That's a good gig too. There's a lot more scorn that comes with that one though. I don't like being disliked.
That's true. Yeah. At the end of the day, is $40 million to be intriguing better than $250 million to be despised?
You can't spend it all anyways. My great great grandkids would probably want me to be the $250 million guy.
It's like the advice my grandfather always used to give me. Seth, never live your life in such a way that $240 million would change your life that much
advice.
More than $40 million.
It's
yeah.
really
live frugally, my son.
Yeah.
Living off the interest of $40 million is probably about all you should hope for or need in this life. Yes.
I wish I'd met your grandfather. I wouldn't have blown through that $240 million so quickly that I had back in the day.
My grandpa, God bless him, he was old school and felt that, children should be treated harshly in such a way as to toughen them up. But I remember sitting, I was working on the farm one summer, and he and I were having lunch, and we were sitting eating bologna sandwiches, because that's what grandpa made for lunch. And he was reading in the paper about Mike Tyson making, like, $5 million or something. And my dad, and I can remember, I was like 12 years old. And my grandpa said, "Huh, that's more money than you or I'll ever see." And I remember thinking, like, that doesn't seem like the kind of stuff you should be feeding your 12-year-old's head.
Supposed to be lifting me up.
Where's the sky is the limit type stuff, where you can do anything you set your mind to? Like, nope, you put a cap on it right there. That's your earning potential at best.
Who's your favorite relative? My nihilist grandfather. Oh man, that is funny. Seth, how did you achieve all your hopes and dreams? It was a pep talk that my grandfather gave me that said that I'm never going to amount to anything that'll make $5 million.
The conflicting emotions of wanting to prove my grandfather wrong, but also feeling guilty like I was somehow letting him down. Oh, that was funny.
That is funny. All right, 713-572-4610 is the number. All right, Davis Mills yesterday. Look, I mentioned it before. There's certain situations when you're the starting quarterback for a team that are just, they're the final exam in this thing. And they may not be a majority of the plays in the game, but they're the ones that matter. And on those plays, Davis Mills stinks right now. I've got the numbers to back it up. We will share them with you and smarten you up at the water cooler next. I also got to tell you that Texans Ticket Tuesday is back tomorrow. Listen here for the details, giving you three chances to win front row seats to Sunday's game against the Chargers. All you got to do is listen during our show, and you could be sitting in the best seats in the house on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.